This is St. Louis Public Radio. Last June, we told you about an Italian immigrant with West African roots and a modest upbringing whose path to Washington University tells an American success story. Gone Sec of Florissant entered WashU on a full scholarship, but a long, simmering, and costly personal challenge threatens the success of the musically talented engineering major. St. Louis Public Radio's Nancy Fowler reports that Sec Dilemma illustrates the unique issues facing many first-generation low-income students.
In May, Gone Sec graduated from Riverview Gardens High School as its valedictorian and prom queen. A few weeks later, Sec started her classes at Washington University during the summer semester. She felt very optimistic.
It's been great. It's been really rewarding. It makes me feel like all of the hard work I've been putting myself through for the past 4 years in high school is really paying off.
But in the fall, in addition to her full course load, Sec ramped up her hours at her job at Panda Express in St. Anne.
I welcome Panda.
So how often are you working? How many hours a week?
It varies. This past week I've worked 54 hours.
Wow.
So with the school paying full tuition and room and board, why work so much? Or at all?
It's because I have a lot of dental expenses.
Her parents had no money for dental care, she says, and there was no public assistance because Sec is an Italian citizen. As the pain increased, she could only eat soft foods. Last spring, Sec finally found a dentist.
He said that ever since he started as a dentist, my teeth were in the worst condition he's ever seen, and I was losing bone mass because of infections caused by my cavities.
Almost every tooth was decayed. The dentist pulled two and sent her home with a handful of antibiotics and painkillers.
So this one is hydrocodone.
And this one Sec has spent nearly $5,000 on dental treatments. She still needs two root canals, two implants, and more than a dozen fillings, which could cost many thousands more. On top of that, Sec also pays several thousand a year for her WashU dental and medical insurance and books, and sometimes helps out with her family's bills. All of that is why she's willing to make the hour and a half trek to her job in St. Anne. On this day, during finals week, she misses the bus that would get her there on time because she was studying.
I woke up at 3 a.m. this morning. Yeah, it was really difficult because I knew I would have to work during the evening.
She catches a later bus.
To Central Western Station.
And then the Metrolink.
Attention passengers, the next westbound train is arriving.
And then one more bus. The return trip gets her back to the dorm around midnight, leaving just a few hours to study, then sleep. To deal with the stress, Sec plays her flute and drinks chamomile tea. But she's afraid to take too much time off because the longer she delays the dental work, the worse it will get.
So it's kind of like a domino effect. You can't afford it at the time, so you have to wait, but the more you wait, the more you can't afford it.
The situation worries Sierra Cody, Sec's best friend since middle school. But Cody says her determined friend is rarely discouraged.
Oh my God, it's like you can't tell her no. She's like, I don't care if it's too hard, I'm gonna do it anyway to prove the world wrong, you know? And that's what makes her have more on her plate. So it's like, girl, calm down just a little bit.
At WashU, Sec is part of a growing population of low-income students. Elite institutions across the country are enrolling a more socioeconomically diverse student body, says Anthony Jack, an assistant professor in the Harvard Graduate School of Education. But
you cannot just admit students and be like, okay, our job is done. You know, your job is just beginning. Because you have invited students, you have extended these coveted invitations, but you have not done the work. Colleges have not done the work to prepare for their arrival.
That work, he says, includes understanding that these students often shoulder great personal responsibilities, like Sec does. Jack knows this firsthand because a dozen years ago, he graduated from Amherst College as a first-generation scholarship student from a low-income Black family.
There were just things that I had to grapple with that a lot of my middle-class and upper-class peers did not have to worry about.
Things like whether asking for extra financial help might paint him as ungrateful, something Sek is also concerned about.
I didn't really want to seem as if I'm taking advantage of it or if I'm just, I don't know, begging for help or something. I don't know exactly how to explain because they just have helped me so much. And I don't want to be greedy.
Toward the end of fall semester, Sek did confide in an advisor who connected her with a campus group that helps at-risk students. But the organization couldn't actually help her because she's not a U.S. citizen. WashU is working to streamline the system, according to Anthony Tillman, an assistant provost. Tillman says there is financial assistance available for some medical issues, but it's still up to the students to alert the school when they need it.
If a student's walking around with crutches or a cast, well, yes. But if it's something that's, if there's something else that's invisible, how else would we know? We have no way of knowing.
By the time Sek began asking for help, her school performance had already suffered, and she was disappointed in her grades. She declined to be specific, but says her scholarship isn't at risk as long as she maintains a 2.0. In the meantime, Sek worries that she won't be able to outrun her dental problems.
I'm already running my fastest, so I'm not sure how long I can keep this up, but I hope that I can keep it up until this storm I'm going through is over with.
This semester, Sek made a hard decision to cut her work week back to 30 hours, giving her more time for classwork and maybe a chance to live a little more like a typical college student. I'm Nancy Fowler, St. Louis Public Radio.